This is the Bank Customer Experience Podcast.
Is your bank or credit union keeping pace with the digital revolution? Today's consumers demand a seamless banking experience anytime, anywhere. At the Bank Customer Experience Summit, you'll hear industry leaders share their secrets to success, discover cutting-edge technology, and gain insights to transform your institution. Don't miss out. Secure your spot at the BCX Summit today. Visit bankcustomerexperience.com for more information.
Welcome, everyone, to the Bank Customer Experience Podcast. My name is Bradley Cooper. I'm the content director for the Bank Customer Experience Summit and editor of ATM Marketplace. We are very excited to launch this new podcast talking about all things bank customer experience and all the different tools and tactics to make it happen. And join us today, we have Jean-Pierre LaCroix. Do you mind introducing yourself real quick for the audience?
Well, thank you, Bradley. People call me JP. It makes it a lot easier than mispronouncing my name. So I'm excited about sharing some of my thoughts on branch transformation and look forward to answering your questions.
Sure. Real quick, do you mind just telling the audience a little bit about your company and what they do?
SLD is a global brand consulting firm that specializes in the banking industry. So we do a lot of work in helping financial institutions manage their channel strategy from positioning to physical and digital design to understand how do we intercept and engage with customers to elevate the level of service and advice that financial institutions are giving their customers.
Excellent. So today we really want to lean in and talk about branch renovations. So we've seen a lot of companies and a lot of banks start to engage in these branch renovations. Bank of America is doing it in a big way. So why do you think banks are investing in branch renovations, especially in light of many banks are now shuttering branches because of all sorts of strategic factors?
Yeah, I call it upsizing or right-sizing the channel strategy. It's not that banks are just closing, they're actually relocating and resizing their channel, their physical assets. And the reason for that is they're realizing that the digital transformation, all those trillions of dollars that are being spent to help connect customers to the bank seamlessly at 24/7 is really a retention strategy. It's not a growth strategy. They're realizing that growth is happening in the branch when customers come in and interact with the banker, the CSR, the universal banker, and engaging with them on understanding some of the products and services that they're looking for. And so I think institutions, now we highlighted that in 2017 when we did the stealth attrition study.
That's right.
And what was startling was that financial institutions ranked very low when customers were looking for financial advice. They were actually at the bottom. And that concerned us. And we started wondering, why is that? And then most recently, we did a global study on the state of banking last year in the fall. And again, that same issue came up. And what we found out was that customer service is no longer the major differentiating factor, nor is digital transformation. They're table stakes. Because when you look at the ratings of financial institutions, you look at J.D. Power, the top bank to the bottom bank, the reality that spectrum that being evaluated is very narrow. Yes, there's a 1, 2, 3, but when you come to the level of customer satisfaction in institutions, it's actually pretty narrow from a standpoint of being different from bank to bank. And so what we noted was attrition and customer loyalty was driven more by the quality of advice. And so we then did another study to go deeper into what do you expect? Where do you expect that advice to be delivered? And that really, I think, is a foundation. And we may have done the study, but I'm sure a lot of these financial institutions are really bright. They've looked at how do we grow? How do we maintain growth? And the realization is that the physical plant, the assets, the branches is the most effective way of driving growth.
Excellent. So what primary areas do you see them renovating within the branch? Like, what are they looking to accomplish?
You know, first of all, they're trying to downsize the size of the branches. The average branch 10 years ago was about 5,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. The average branch today when they're being built is about 2,500 square feet, so about half the size. And so financial institutions are looking at, what do I do if I have a 5,000 or a 7,000 square foot branch? What do I do with this excess capacity or space? Do I need to close it, relocate it, or do I use some of that space to sublease it or provide additional services? Mm-hmm. The other thing is that customers are coming in for different purposes now. They're not coming in just for transactions. They're coming in to receive financial advice, to resolve issues. And so the role of that branch is changing. And with that change, the layouts need to change. And so things mm-hmm. like more level of privacy, more office spaces or cubicles or private offices, meeting rooms, the ability of doing video conferencing, these are all additional elements that, you know, 10 years ago didn't exist. Or if it did exist, the priority in which they were placed, in other words, when you entered a branch, those elements were kind of lost. You wouldn't mm-hmm. notice them. Today, when you start looking at branch experiences, those offices are at the forefront. And the transactional areas, teller lines, if you like, are found at the back of the branch. And we're seeing more and more of that. The other thing that we're seeing, Bank of America is testing this, is this tetherless banking platform. So the ability of engaging with the customer where they're sitting, or if they're at a high top table, they don't have to come to the teller counter or the advice counter to engage with the customers. And a lot of the banks are experimenting with these type of platforms.
Excellent. So with these redesigned branches, one of the big challenges are, how do you find the right employee to fit that? So how are banks training? How can they train employees properly to fit these new branches?
Well, it starts with the sales choreography. It's aligning this new branch experience with how staff engage. You know, it's really funny. 10 years ago or 7 years ago, financial institution launched these digital hubs, these learning platforms where they would engage with customers to train them on the mobile device or on the online device. And they got very little traction. And the reason they had very little traction wasn't that the customers were looking for that advice. It's that the staff were reluctant to provide it. Mm-hmm. And the staff were reluctant to provide it because there was no incentive. Their focus was queue attrition, you know, reducing the queue time. And more importantly, psychologically, they viewed those learning centers, these hubs, as competing for their jobs. And so why would I help the customer do more mobile banking, online banking, if that's going to reduce the reliance of the branch and basically the reliance on me, the banker? And so there's a lot of that pushback on the adoption of technology. Obviously, the pandemic helped accelerate that, force consumers to change their behaviors. They had no other choice. But now sales choreography is going to play an important role, because when you start looking at the future of banking, all you have to do is go to Europe. You know, they've had open banking now for 5 or 6 years. They're in open banking 2.0. Canada is just about to introduce open banking. It was just announced. And so when you think of Europe and you look at the migration they've done and the role the branch plays, what they've done a really good job of is two things. One is moving most financial transactions to the ATMs, both for small business banking, for deposits and withdrawals, and for the consumers. And that's freed up the time the staff has to engage with customers. They don't feel pressured to see the queue line is getting long to shorten their conversation with their customers. And so they've really mastered the ability of making that transition. It's taken them 6 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. I see the same thing happening in the US Canadian market, where that attrition is going to have to, or that transition is going to have to happen over a period of time. But it's going to take the sales choreography and the training of the staff to help migrate those engagements. And that is what's happening today.
Right. It can be definitely a challenge to move to this new system and migrate those engagements in a new way. So speaking more broadly, how do you think these redesigned branches are going to improve the customer experience? You mentioned, obviously, giving more financial advice, but how do you see them with that really working out?
Well, it's interesting you asked that question, because when we did this recent study in November of last year, on the level of advice and where do customers want advice, we asked the question, when a bank renovates their branch, what's your expectation? And obviously at the top of the list was 24-hour banking, ATMs, mm-hmm. number one and two, but number three was tiered level of privacy, mm-hmm. consultation rooms, private offices, seminar rooms. These were all ranked at the top. of what customers are expecting when a branch is renovated. And so there's this heightened expectation of change management. Customers are looking for advice, and they're expecting if the branch has been renovated, that that financial institution will create an environment that's conducive to delivering that advice. And part of that is obviously up-tooling, up-training the staff, having the right staff. And then there's a whole big discussion going on, Bradley, on greeters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a resurgence of the importance of greeters. If we're going to create this transition towards this merging of moving customers to transaction on ATMs and then moving customers to advice through more consultative selling, right? You're going to need an employee or a greeter that's mm-hmm. going to be able to make that triage and help the customer to that transition. Now, in China, where we do a lot of financial institutions, that's a mandatory role. And they put a lot of emphasis at the check-in kiosk, which is enormous. It's staffed. Mm-hmm. And you can actually do your entire banking, including opening an account on that unit.
Interesting.
You see this big change towards queue management, big change towards triage of customers in the branch, and this big change about migrating customers from a teller line for transactions towards technology in the branch.
Mm-hmm. The greeter component is interesting. So yeah, you would definitely need someone to be able to guide those customers in a way so they'd be comfortable just within that branch. So moving on to store ROI, how do you see the bank and managers be able to show ROI from these renovations? How are they going to be able to do that?
Well, we asked that same question to 400 bankers in as part of our study. We asked, you know, when you renovate a branch, we asked two questions. How much money do you spend on branch renovations, depending on the branch size? We gave them four branch sizes. And we said, what is your sales increase on those different investment levels and size of branches? And we found two startling things is on average, a branch renovation generates between 11 and 15% of sales increase. And sales increase talks about the increase in products and services that that bank institution sells to their customers. It could be new customers or it could be existing customers buying new products. But more importantly, the more the bank invested or the financial institution invested in the renovation level, the more they spent money on renovating that branch, actually the higher that number went. It went up to 27%. That's a clear correlation that customers have an expectation that if you renovate the branch, they want a heightened experience. And that if you make that commitment and creating a heightened experience, they're going to come in and spend more time with you and invest more with your institution.
That's a great point. So what about return on experience? Have you done any work with that? Because that's kind of an often overlooked element when it comes to really all sorts of different industries, but banking as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. We did a study 2 years ago on measuring what matters. We wanted to find out what are institutions measuring versus what are the customers evaluating their financial institution? And what we discovered is that there is a definite misalignment. Customers rank return on experience significantly higher than financial institutions. And experience is really important because we know that a better banking experience, and it could be digital or physical or humanistic with the staff, drives more brand loyalty. But unfortunately, the banks are not tracking ROX. We're actually having conversations with financial institutions as we speak about ROX. And it's that soft kind of emotional part of the equation that bankers have trouble getting their minds wrapped around. But the reality is it's a movement that has started 10 years ago and it's gaining a lot of momentum. They're realizing some of the leading institutions evaluate their brand based on the emotional equity they have with their customers because they know that the stronger that emotional connection with that customer, the more loyal they are. And they're starting to realize that that is one of the pivotal points in driving growth is how do we engage? How do we deliver empathy for these customers? How do we emotionally engage with them? How do we reduce their financial anxiety? These are all factors that bankers have control in assisting customers and building that loyalty.
Right. And that's especially important for, you know, the financially underserved populations who will need to have, you know, might not have the best experiences with banks. So banks really need to do that extra work. I thought it was interesting that you pointed out how even though banks are obviously renovating to make them smaller, they still need to keep those private offices because that's a huge expectation for people, right? To be able to develop that private financial education. So with all that in mind, what do you really think separates the successful renovations from the less successful ones, in your opinion?
There's this mindset that we renovate and our sales will go up. It's actually renovated branches give permission to the frontline staff, the CR, you know, the customer service reps or the universal bankers, whatever the institution, given institution calls them, gives them permission to deliver better customer experience and deliver advice. It also creates a sense of pride. We know that when we renovate, when banks renovate their branches, they reduce attrition, employee attrition. They actually reduce the churn that happens in the branch because they're communicating to their employees that they're important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to get energized and excited and delivering a great customer experience if the carpet's, you know, 30 years old, the roof is leaking, uh-huh. It's cold in the branch because the heating system is not, or it's overheating in the branch because it's the summertime and the HVAC is not working properly. It's really hard for that employee to feel appreciated. And so renovating the branch is a clear single, but it has to happen in three dimensions. It has to happen in the physical, so create that environment that gives you permission to deliver advice and great service. It needs to support the sales choreography. The staff need to be engaged and understand the path to purchase for the customer and understand what are those pivot points that deliver great customer experience, great advice. And then the last thing is digital. And I say last thing, but still very important because, again, what we're discovering and what is the great news is the gap is narrowing is that we talk about seamless banking. The reality, it's not about seamless banking. It's about omnichannel banking. And that omnichannel banking or that digital banking actually stopped at the branch door. There was no integration between what happens online, mobile, into the physical branch. And what we're seeing is this narrowing of these gaps so that if a customer starts onboarding at home on a mobile device or online, that same information is then carried to the branch so that they don't have to reinitiate the conversation. Or if they have an issue on their account, the service rep knows exactly why they're in the branch and what prompts they need to take to solve those issues. So it's the three elements. It's not just one.
Excellent. Yeah, the branch definitely has to work within the broader, you know, ecosystem of the bank. So with all that being said, you've given us a lot of great insights. Is there anything else you'd like to add about branch renovations today?
Yeah, I come back to, we wrote a book called The Future Retail Banking. I think we wrote it in 2016. We said that what the big challenge for a financial institution is it's not about renovating their branches. It's not about launching new products. It's not about a better app or a better mobile or online experience. Those are important. But the future of banking is about rethinking their business model. And that's tough. You know, when you're reliant on deposits to fuel your engine, and you have a model that is very restricted and legislated by the government, it's really hard to break through. But they really need to think about their business model. And again, I point to Europe. A millennial bank is a great example in Portugal. Mm-hmm. They've reinvented their business model and they're on a huge growth pattern. They're the third largest bank, but they dominate in pretty well every metric, sales per branch, NPS scores, customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction, depth of relationship, low attrition rates. And what they've done is they've looked at their channel strategy and they developed an advice-centric branch, a wealth-centric mm-hmm. branch, a community branch, a staffless branch. And then they not only looked at those formats, but then they looked at where does those formats best fit in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Right? And so they created a channel strategy that actually reduced the amount of staff in the branches, increased mm-hmm. customer satisfaction, and reduced costs. And so there's a lot to learn about rethinking the business model in banking and looking at a financial ecosystem versus a one shoe fits all. You know, this idea exactly. that The same services are being offered irrespective of the size of the box. That has to change.
Exactly. Well, thank you, JP, so much for joining us. And I'll remind our listeners that JP will actually be moderating a panel at the upcoming Bank Customer Experience Summit, where he'll be talking about avoiding the pitfalls in customer experience transformations with some great panelists from banks. So if you'd like to hear more from that, please attend that, which will be held in Charlotte from September 9th through the 11th. So thank you, JP, so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you.
Is your bank or credit union keeping pace with the digital revolution? Today's consumers demand a seamless banking experience anytime, anywhere. At the Bank Customer Experience Summit, you'll hear industry leaders share their secrets to success, discover cutting-edge technology, and gain insights to transform your institution. Don't miss out. Secure your spot at the BCX Summit today. Visit bankcustomerexperience.com for more information.